Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 41 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Well, today we're going to be talking about something pretty cool, all about your face. Yeah, stare in the mirror. We got a lot to talk about. But before we hop into that, I just want to make sure you know this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. Yeah, they're delicious once-a-day gummies. I know I take them every day. That contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and, of course, review us. You know, we really welcome your thoughts, and guess what? I read them too. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Now, on this episode, we're going to be talking about facial masks. What's right for you? Most of us just happy to kind of get up in the morning and wash our faces. But, oh boy, it gets a lot more complex than that. And our go-to expert is dermatologist Dr. Doris Day. We've had on the podcast many times. Dr. Day, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Thank you for having me back. It's great to be with you always.
Well, I want to make sure that everyone knows that Dr. Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser, cosmetic, and surgical dermatology in New York City. She's affiliated with Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City and is a clinical associate professor of dermatology at the New York University Langone Medical Center. She's won so many awards for her work in laser research, teaching, and for promoting the field of dermatology. And oh boy, her go-to book is Forget the Facelift. Yeah, you heard it. Forget the Facelift. Turn back the clock with Dr. Day's revolutionary four-step program for ageless skin. And please make sure to get on over to her website as well, myclearskin.com. So, oh my goodness, Dr. Day, we're going to be talking about masks. Why are masks important?
Masks are a really great way to slow things down. When you put a mask on your face, basically what you're doing is you're allowing for delivery of key active ingredients over time, but in a concentrated way. So a mask is, you know, a mask has really become a generic term. There are masks that go on for a few minutes. There are masks that can stay on overnight. They're called sleeping masks. So there's a lot of variations and varieties of this type of a treatment going forward. And after a while, it becomes a little bit of an overlap with other treatments. Like a lot of things that we call chemical peels don't actually make you peel, but they're still called chemical peels. So the same thing with a mask. A mask isn't necessarily a physical entity like you think of a face mask. It can be a cream, it can be a gel, it can be something that can harden on your skin and peel off, or something that you wipe off like a cream. So there's a huge number of varieties.
What exactly is that mask doing? I mean, let's take it down to the cellular level. I mean, a lot of women are saying, okay, well, listen, you know, I splash on the moisturizer, I got the SPF going, you know, I've got a special cleanser. Why do I need a mask? What's it doing?
Well, what a mask is doing, depending on what you put under it or what's in it, it can be helping the ingredients in it. So let's say you have acne and you use a clay mask. That the clay in the mask and some of the other ingredients are going to pull excess oils out of your skin, out of your pores, and leave your skin feeling tight and a little bit drier than before you use the mask. You rinse it off, then what you apply afterwards, you know, is very important in order to get the most out of that treatment. So that's with a clay mask. If you're doing an anti-redness mask, it will have ingredients that can be botanicals. It can have caffeine and vitamin C and other ingredients that can penetrate into the skin. And because you have that occlusiveness of a mask, which is really what I think all the masks have in common, and is that occlusiveness, meaning that they create somewhat of a barrier so that what is between the skin and the mask gets condensed and concentrated and is encouraged, and the penetration into the skin is facilitated. So you can have a concentrated, amplified effect over just using those ingredients without the mask formulation.
Excellent. Well, let's go into some kinds of masks. You've got a whole nice list here that I'd love to go over. You know, what's a splash mask? It sounds like something you can do in the shower and let's just get this done. What's that about?
Right. So a splash mask it's pretty much the newest thing. So this started in Korea. Most of what we get in terms of a lot of the newer ideas we get do come from Asia. And what happens with these masks is they become very loose terms. So this is really more like a cleanser, really, than a mask. The point of a mask is what I had said before, that improves target delivery because it's sitting on your skin. But this one, you just splash on in or after the shower and then rinse it off. So it can have things like green tea or other ingredients in it that once your skin is well hydrated, just by splashing it on, enough of it will stay on. But to me, that's like the loosest term of a mask, and that may be one that I kind of have an issue with actually calling a mask.
Okay, I'm good. Well, then what about bubbling masks?
So bubbling mask has an ingredient in it that will create a reaction when you apply it to the skin. And what that does is it can help those ingredients penetrate. So it's, again, it's just going to be in that formulation of those ingredients, so it'll actually froth. And the idea there is that it's improving, at least the idea is that it's improving oxygenation of the skin. So you can even feel a tingling or an effervescent type of a thing. Dr. Brandt has a version of this, and it won't replace your morning, you know, exercise, that tightening effect you get after you get good oxygen flow or a great blood supply to your skin. But you can have that refreshed effect and feeling in your skin after you use it. So what might be in a bubbling mask are ingredients that can help with hydration or oxygenation of the skin. And that's something, again, where I'm a little bit skeptical of what these masks can really do in that way, but there's lots of oxygen providing and enhancing types of creams and products that are available. And they often use botanicals to help do this. So they're plant extracts that will help improve the oxygen supply to the skin.
Okay, well, you know, there's another question just generically.
Yes.
About masks, because, you know, that the first one, the splash mask, kind of, you know, defies this. But, you know, whenever I think of a mask, I always think like X number of minutes you've got to keep it on. Otherwise, you're not going to get the full effect. What's
exactly
that about?
Right. Well, it's true. And that's the idea of a mask. So the idea of a mask from the beginning, and I look at the ingredients of many of these masks. Like when I look at the bubbling mask, it's basically containing some surfactants, which is and some cleansers that will just create a bit of a lather in the skin. So some of this becomes a little bit of a gimmick of a sensation more than anything else, and then they have some retinols in them. So I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical about some of the newer versions and formulations from what I've seen of them. So I'm still there. But the idea, I agree with you. The idea of a mask is that it's ideally something that's creating that barrier or that delivery mechanism through occlusion, where occlusion is not necessarily the same as blocking a pore or suffocating the skin. You can have something that creates a barrier without having it protect against oxygen or ingredients passing through. And that's where I think the advances have come in masks. When I think of the original face masks, it was always clay, it was always for acne, and it was always drying. And the advances in masks have been that now there are so many more interesting formulations of them that the idea is not always that a mask is going to be drying to the skin, but you can actually really effectively deliver powerful actives in a short period of time, and your skin can see a dramatic difference, at least in the short run, of having greater radiance and luminosity and brightness and even firming. It'll feel firmer for a little while after you apply the mask, depending on what ingredients you're using.
But hey, the firm idea is
bubbling,
good. I'm all about
good, right?
Firm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, bring it on. Well, speaking of firm, even young men like Justin Bieber post on Instagram that they love their sheet mask experience. What the heck is that?
Yeah, the sheet mask is nice, too. And the sheet mask goes more towards the original type of a mask, where it's actually a mask, often in the cutout shape of a face that you can put over your face. It often feels cool when you apply it. And it has ingredients in it like hyaluronic acid, and it can have other peptides in it or antioxidants in it that when you put on your skin for a short period of time, it feels soft, it feels hydrated, it feels smooth, it can have radiance to it, and maybe feel a little bit firmer too when you take it off. And they're also very relaxing. I often recommend that when someone does a mask, they put on soft music and soft lighting, maybe nice candlelight, go with a little bit of aromatherapy, and create a spa-like kind of feel to it so they get the most out of it. Because when you relax, when you allow a mask to have its effect in your skin, and you take deep breaths, and you kind of go with it as well mentally, you'll get more out of the treatment. So it really should be a time when you slow things down. You can even make yourself a delicious antioxidant iced tea, caffeine-free maybe, and just kind of sip that along and make it a full experience. And it doesn't take more than 5 to 10 minutes if you're using a sheet mask.
Well, I love it. I mean, you could do this anytime you want to, so long as, you know, you don't want to scare people with your Freddy Krueger little face, you know,
exactly.
Mask on. No wonder you want to have candlelight. You want to freak people out here. But, you know, I really love the idea of just creating an entire experience instead of just slapping on a mask and, you know,
exactly.
Waiting out the 10 minutes to really create an entire atmosphere around it. And also, you know, women especially get an F- in taking time for themselves. And this kind of forces you to do that. It's not like you can really multitask in a huge way when you've got that stuff on your face, and it kind of maybe just forces you to really mindfully kick back and feel good. But what about hydrating masks?
So that is one of the categories that I was most excited about with masks, because I have a lot of patients who have dry skin, who have rosacea, and who are really, or who have sensitive skin, who really would benefit from a mask experience, but they aren't able to use one because most of them are very drying. So with the newer hydrating masks, they can often have higher concentrations of ingredients like hyaluronic acid. And what they do is they really concentrate the hydration and pull it into the skin. They pull the water into the skin and they lock it in a very powerful way. So that's one area where I think masks have come a long way. Now, some of these masks are sheet masks, and some of them are more like creams that you can even put on and leave on overnight, because hydration really can take time. So the hydrating masks are really often they're not ones that are going to dry on your skin that you peel off. They're ones that you're going to end up wiping off at some point.
I see. And you've got to pretty much sleep on your back, right? Otherwise,
yeah.
You've got a pillow full
true.
Of lovely hydrating masks.
Nice, wash it the next day.
Yeah, I know. That's a real special experience. And are hydrating masks better for also women of a certain age? Because as you get older, don't you think you need a little bit more hydrating?
Yes, absolutely. So as you get older, your oil glands become less productive. You know, as a teenager, you get that oil slick that comes around when you get your period or right before. And as you get older and everything kind of regulates, and once you hit your 40s and 50s, which I don't consider older anymore. I mean, older gets older as I get older. So so I find that once you hit your 40s or perimenopause, the oil glands are just not quite as productive. And so you need a little bit more help with hydration. And it can depend on where you live as well and what the season is. All of that has an impact, and also your genetics, of course, and then other products you're using. If you're using a retinol and some other ingredients that are anti-aging, that can also dry out your skin and minimize your oil gland production. So in those cases, a nice treat of a hydrating mask once a week or twice a week can have a really great impact on two things. One is your skin will look better and it'll be more hydrated, but two is it'll actually do better the rest of the week with the other products you use, because when your skin is healthy and intact and the most balanced, then everything about it functions better. It protects you better, it rejuvenates better, it repairs itself better. So these masks can be very helpful for people with dry skin if they use the right one.
I love it. This is fantastic. And, you know, at the same time I think about masks, I think about, you know, how dermatologists like yourself, experts in the field, you know, also talk about exfoliation and why that's important too. And I'm trying to say to myself, okay, well, can I also have an exfoliating mask? And,
yep.
And if so, how often do you actually use that? Because I heard that there's really a limitation on how often you exfoliate.
Right, so that's absolutely true, and it depends on the time of year. So in the wintertime, your skin cells actually turn over more slowly, so you might exfoliate a little bit more in the winter than you do in the summer. But you also have to know your skin. It depends on the products you're using. If you're using retinols and salicylic acid, and if you're using a brush cleanser, you may not have to exfoliate very often. Now let's talk about what we're exfoliating. When you exfoliate, what you're doing is you're removing at least a layer of the outermost dead layer of skin cells called the stratum corneum. Now, that stratum corneum, we used to think is just a dead layer of skin cells. It's just sitting there for no reason, waiting to slough off. But, of course, we learn over time that it isn't just a useless layer that's sitting there. It has a purpose. And the purpose of the stratum corneum is if you have very fair skin, it helps protect you against the sun. It's not great at doing that, but if you don't have much other protection in the form of melanin and you can't really tan very well, that's all you get. So you better count on it. And then the other thing it does is it helps hold water in the skin. But if that stratum corneum, that outer dead skin cell layer, isn't sitting on an even plane, then when the UV rays hit the skin, they bounce in all different directions because the stratum corneum is thicker in some areas, less thick in other areas, and it's an uneven surface. So the sun hits or light hits, bounces sideways instead of synchronously bouncing off, and that makes your skin look dull and wrinkled. So when that stratum corneum is flat and smooth, then your skin looks younger, smoother, and more radiant. And exfoliating should help the dead outer layer of skin cells that really need some help sloughing off, slough off more synchronously. And that's why you shouldn't
now,
do it too often, because you don't want to strip it.
If a mask has something like glycolic acid in it,
yeah,
what is the concentration that's best there? Because don't you really need to understand, you know, how much glycolic acid is in it?
That's a perfect question. The problem is this. The problem is it depends the pH of the glycolic acid, if it's buffered or not buffered, and it can make a dramatic difference. And there's really almost no way to know at home exactly what it is. So the way that I would look at it is for sensitive skin, for acne-prone skin, and then listen to your skin. If you're stinging and burning and that gets uncomfortable, you have to take it off. So that's really, really important. You don't want to leave that on your skin. So you have to pay attention, but it's really hard to tell if you have a 20% glycolic acid. If it's not buffered, then that can be really strong. If it's buffered, you can leave it on overnight. And then if you use, it depends, people confuse glycolic or alpha hydroxy with beta hydroxy, which is salicylic acid. If you use a salicylic acid, you can't really neutralize that. Glycolic acid you can neutralize. So if you're using a glycolic acid product, you have to pay attention to whether or not it should be neutralized. If you don't have the neutralizer, then rinse with a lot of water to dilute it. But if it says it doesn't have to be neutralized, then chances are it's already buffered, and it shouldn't be quite as strong. But the best way to know is to listen to your skin, to go slowly and to build up with her, you know, how it does for you.
Well, I heard that Vitamin Nectar Vibrancy Boosting Face Mask is a really good one, and it's like a gel paste, and
yes,
it's got oranges, lemons, and clementines,
yes,
and wow, it's supposed to be quite effective. Have you had experience with it?
I haven't tried that, but that is one that I've heard good thing, and Fresh is a good brand in that way. So they have some interesting products that tend to be relatively simple, which is good. So they don't contain a lot of extra ingredients, and the that citrus is it's nice. That implies vitamin C. It smells good. You get the aromatherapy aspect of it, but it's also a gel paste, so that feels good on your skin. And you actually can feel the pulp when you put it on your skin, which is kind of cool too. So it gives you the sense of natural. And I like things that are natural to some extent, but I think it's better to use a product like this that's tested for the skin than actually putting those ingredients on your skin. So, you know, like cool. Getting oranges and lemons and clementines. So I'd rather have you do it from a face mask than just trying to take the ingredients and do it themselves, because when you use a mask like this, you're getting the best of those ingredients combined into a formulation that adds in other things like hyaluronic acid and hydrators that's going to sit much nicer on your skin and give you the benefit you're looking for. So I would prefer,
you know, it's so funny, as you're talking, I'm having these visions, you know, of someone sitting in a spa with two oranges or whatever in their eyes, you know.
But actually, you have to be careful, too, because if you put lemon on and you go in the sun, you can get a really horrible sunburn. So this may have that smell of lemon, but it takes out the dangerous ingredient in lemon, which is called asorolen, P-S-O-R-A-L-E-N, that can make you very, very photosensitive. So you have to be careful with these natural products. If using a lemon mask is good, it doesn't mean that using a lemon itself is good. It makes a very big difference.
Excellent. Well, you know, I've also heard of something called mask primers, when just one product won't do, you know, you have this primer. It's like a spray, it claims to prep the skin for mask treatments. Is that for sure?
Oh, no. It's exhausting. I mean, with all the products out there, it's like you just would never get through your day by the time you do these things. I think the primer is generally just to wash your face, or, you know, take a shower before you use the mask, so your skin is, you know, really well cleaned and hydrated before. So I don't object. If you have a lot of energy and time and you're devoted and you want to do it, it's fine. But I haven't seen, and it may be that certain masks, this can help add an ingredient to the skin, but I would hesitate to think that it's an absolute necessity or an important step. And I would think that if it was, it should come as part of the mask itself, not something that you have to buy separately. So if a primer was going to make a big difference for the mask, then I would say it should be step one of the mask, and the mask itself should be step two. And the same thing with removing it or neutralizing. If you're using a glycolic acid mask, then if it needs to be neutralized, the neutralizer should be part of that kit. Otherwise, I would be hesitant to buy it or try it. So if it recommends that step and it's not part of it, then I wouldn't risk it.
So you're from what I'm hearing here is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your go-to mask is more of a hydrating mask?
For someone who needs the hydration. So I love the clay masks and the exfoliating mask for someone who has more glandular skin, oilier skin, who's acne prone, who needs that kind of a treatment. But what I think now is that there's really a mask for everyone. We have a pumpkin mask that's great for rosacea. So there's a mask now for every skin type and for every skin condition that makes it safe. In the past, we really only had drying acne masks. And a mask really meant that you're going to dry out your skin and you're going to use a clay something or other, and it was going to exfoliate and make your skin feel super tight. I remember that as a teen. But masks have evolved so far that we have so many formulations. Laneige makes a nice one that's a sleeping mask that's available at Target. And you leave that on overnight and you wake up and your skin feels soft. And I remember doing something with them a few years ago, and they were saying they sell like one every minute in Asia. Like that thing, they can't even keep it on the shelves. So these products get super, super popular, and they use special waters and they use special ingredients. All of them have their own unique kind of qualities to them. But there really is a mask for almost every skin type and every skin condition. You just have to.
Okay,
sure
now we've
really
sold this to all the women out there in her podcast land, and they're all sitting back saying, "Okay, I got it." You know, I know you may feel a little bit overwhelmed by the fact there are so many different kinds of masks and, you know, a lot of different needs. I highly recommend, quite frankly, that women go to a dermatologist just like you, and to have a sit down to say, look at my skin And what do you think would be the optimal regimen for me? And so many dermatologists like yourself already have an office set up to be able to give these women an appropriate experience with the mask. And then you could explain to them why you're going with that, as it were, prescription for them. Do you think that's the way to go?
Absolutely. And dermatologists should be your go-to for skincare. What I find, you know, many dermatologists that I speak with, and we see each other at meetings and at local and international and national, and I know that I, for one, actually go to drugstores on a regular basis. I walk up and down the aisles and I look at products and ingredients. So many times we'll be able to help guide our patients through both at-home treatments from the drugstore, at-home treatments from products we recommend, and in-office treatments. And that combination can make a difference. So if I have a patient who comes in, or any dermatologist has a patient who comes in and they're on a budget, we can still recommend outstanding drugstore brands. There are so many great products out there that don't have to be expensive that you can start with and get great results. And then you can decide on one item you're going to splurge. But I find that with masks and with some of the other products that are available, cost is not, is sadly not always reflective of value or efficacy. And sometimes there's a lot, it seems like there's a lot of hype behind it, and it's often disappointing. So you can have very simple skincare regimens that are at the drugstore, and your dermatologist can help you with that. But I see people coming in with like bags of products, even masks. They've tried a whole bunch of different things, and they've just wasted their money because they're using the wrong product for their skin. Their skin is irritated, and it's frustrating.
Can I just ask you right now? I know that all the ladies out there in her podcast land, as they've been taking notes furiously, are just saying, can you just toss out maybe two or three products that you really love at the grocery store level?
Sure. Okay. So in terms of masks, Olay Pro X and Olay Regenerist have a new mask that's coming out that I really like. So look for that in your drugstore. I love the Rock Intense Night Retinol. Aveeno Positively Radiant is a great line that you can look for, especially if you tend towards rosacea or a sensitive skin. Garnier Fructis has beautiful cleansing pads. They have micellar water that can really help clean the skin. And I believe they're coming out with a really great mask as well, so I would look for that as well. In terms of the Step Up philosophy, the Miracle Worker line has fresh pore pads that are great for brightening. I mentioned the Laneige sleeping mask. Laneige also has a sunscreen that comes in a hydration pack that has, like, you kind of blot it on like you do foundation. It comes in different color tints. I think it has an SPF of 30 or 50. It feels like you're pampering and hydrating and loving your skin when you put that sunscreen on. So there's that. I already mentioned the Pro-X line, which I love. And then, another one that I've done some work with recently, so I've had a chance to explore it, is Number 7, which is available, I think, at CVS and Target. They have some amazing products. They have the Protect and Perfect Intense Advanced Serum, and that's a hydrating serum that helps your skin feel smoother and younger and firmer. And all of these, every single brand that I've mentioned, I mentioned each one specifically because I've spoken with the PhDs from the companies. I've seen their scientific data. In some cases, I've traveled around the world to visit their labs and look at the work that they're doing. Olay does incredible work with genomics. So even before they test a product on human skin or they take it to development, they've already tested on genomics, genomic chips. So they already know what old skin behaves like and what new skin behaves like. And when they use these products, they can see how it affects making old skin behave and look younger. So the advances in technology are incredible, and the really great news is that there's less and less in terms of animal testing. So most of these products are animal cruelty-free, and that's a big deal for me because I'm an animal lover, and I don't like products and ingredients that have to do with hurting animals just so that we can have
Well, I'm going to tell you something. My German Shepherd and I agree with you deeply about that.
And my
Havanese and I love it.
Too.
Well, I know, seriously. Oh, my gosh. We have been talking to our go-to dermatologist on all things gorgeous face and skin, and that is Dr. Doris Day. She is the author of Forget the Facelift, Turn Back the Clock with Dr. Day's revolutionary four-step program for ageless skin. Her website is myclearskin.com. We're going to learn much more about what she's all about and maybe get some answers to your questions. Dr. Day, I cannot begin to thank you enough for coming once again and sharing your knowledge and wisdom and your practical tips, tools, and techniques to be able to get us all looking real good. Thank you, Doris.
Thank you so much.
All right. Welcome to, listen, I want to make sure that all of you know that every single one of these podcasts is really special to me because I listen to you through your rates and reviews. So make sure that whenever you listen to one of our fabulous shows, you run on over to iTunes and make sure to give us one of those rates and reviews because it's important to listen to your feedback. It's so great to know that you're catching every episode of her and you're kind of talking to us too through iTunes. So again, thanks to Dr. Doris Day and learning about all things facial masks and what's right for you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.